Well, Imperfect Parenting, here we are again.
Again.
The main man's back.
Back Ooh, again in action.
We just have so much fun.
And she goes singing again. Come on.
I know.
Just because I put it.
We just watched a video where I was singing. Now you're going to sing.
I know. It was from last season. What's funny is I think every now and then there's people that walk past the studio and it's really, really loud. And we are obnoxiously making noises probably because someone out there is singing.
Yeah.
And but my brother likes to send us just clips of us.
Maybe behind the scenes.
The blooper reel. Yeah. I don't know if they'll... White will make it out, but
yeah, we're not showing you guys that for sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But we do have a good meme for this one.
Mm-hmm. Just words.
Again,
go ahead, Seth.
I got this one. It says, "I keep hearing it takes a village to raise a child. Do they just show up, or is there a number to call?"
Mm-hmm. It's a good clarifying question.
It is.
I think it's.
How can I find them?
It takes a village. So where's the village?
Where's the village?
So that leads us to this topic, this time with Seth, is community. Mm-hmm. Kicking off community. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's common in the church. We talk about community all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important we actually learn what it means for us as a family, as parents, and then how we practice it.
So, yeah.
What do you guys think?
And I would step it up to say find community that can become covenant relationships.
Yeah. What do you mean when you say that?
A covenant relationship is I'm willing to go through fire with you. I'm willing to stand with you when it's hard, when I'm frustrated, when I'm offended even. I'm going to choose to lean in and not let go of my end of the rope. And these are the relationships that God wants us to develop is when he says fellowship. You know, his 12 disciples, those were covenant relationships.
Yeah.
It was, there's no greater love than one to give to his brother, his friend. You know, it's, I'm going to give my life for this relationship. And I think that's, we often build community and it's go to church and have lunch afterwards and maybe every now and then barbecue, but I don't let you see me.
It's good. It's good. Good distinguish.
And I think the difference between community is... we can gather and agree. I think covenant is we can gather, disagree, and stay connected.
That's good.
A little harder.
A little harder.
Mm-hmm. A little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can be in that place.
No, and not everybody knows how to do it. And not everybody, I guess when it gets really hard, you quickly learn, oh, was this a covenant relationship or not?
Yeah.
And it's painful when you go, oh, I thought it was, and they go, it's not. But at the same time, I'm so glad that you're not in my boat anymore because you weren't going to help me row this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going places. I don't know how many times that we've been offended or frustrated, I think, in the early years of working together. That showed our covenant relationship for the two of us.
Yeah.
You didn't really... You loved Ben, but I don't know that
We were working together every single day.
Yeah, so we were in the fire all the time. We went through fire. That was a whole nother season. I mean, that was crazy. I don't even know.
We went through hell.
I don't know if we've talked
about it or not. A couple times.
I can't remember, but I mean, we were in the children's department. How many affairs happened? I think it was like 4 or 5.
At least.
I think
it was 5.
Yeah. So...
There was a fire that put us all in there.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't even in there until the fire. First fire happened.
First fire, and then
we were just trying to pull people
out.
You
really got...
I got baptized.
Yes, you did. So that's
Lord,
kind of how
help us all.
We developed our relationship was in the flames along with our good friend Amy. She was in there, and Laura. But that created some dynamics for us working together. You and Lauren didn't really have kids yet, and then you started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids already, but I think that
new
because
ones.
Yeah, you had
because we
babies.
Came and babysat Adeline when she
newborn.
Was first newborn.
Mm-hmm.
We were practicing.
You were practicing.
It's awesome. Still paying off.
Totally.
Yeah,
it's
just... I know.
But you've been speaking into Delaney's life for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I was talking to her, just asking her questions and helping her think some.
I walked by you guys thinking, I love these moments when Delaney gets to talk to her pastor.
Well, she loves them too.
I do too.
She always is asking, can we just go stay at Seth and Lauren's house.
She could.
She could.
She'd probably love it.
She would love it. But those are the example of covenant relationships is, you know, there's moments. I remember when my mom, we found out she had cancer. You were one of the first texts I sent because I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever gone through. Let me let you in. Mm-hmm. You know, and Dragon Slayers, you two have developed a different relationship,
sure.
which is probably, I think, because of my relationship with Seth, you two have become really close and mm-hmm. developed your own covenant, which is really fun.
Yeah.
But those are that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the drive-through community. We're looking for the sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
We have, what's interesting is none of us live in the same place, but we still have it. And I think sometimes that can be, that just needs to be up there on the table.
I actually want to pose that question because that was asked to me recently, this very thing. This young married couple just got married. They're weeks into learning about covenant marriage. And they're currently traveling around. So, like, they have the freedom and the finances to kind of just travel and just kind of move from place to place right now while they decide where they're going to live.
Mm.
And he asked me this question, something like, we're trying to figure out if maybe we didn't have to land somewhere. If we can just kind of, like, go from place to place and our community mostly happens online. And then we just kind of meet people face-to-face.
As you go.
In these different places.
Go to those places.
And it was an intriguing question. So I had an answer, but before I do, I would love to hear you guys. Because that's the age we're living in, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even for our kids.
Yeah.
I mean, for our kids at some level, much of their community is online.
Well, in our school that our kids go to is online. Like, the friends they're seeing every day in school are on the computer or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for as long as you're able to develop deep relationships and people can say that they know you, I would say awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, especially early marriage years, you might need somebody walking with you. You might need to be going to places, to people's house to see it, because I don't know that you're going to see it in the foundation years. And it's hard online for a mom with a toddler mm-hmm. to successfully have a conversation with another mom,
mm-hmm.
even in person.
Mom.
You know, oh, hold on. He's going to jump off. Okay, what's in his mouth? You know, I don't know how you do that through a Zoom call. It's hard to do in person. I think there's seasons where it works, and I would say that we have a lot of national friends
relationships,
and that are, I would say, are covenant that I could call at any moment and say, I need you, and they would come.
Mm-hmm.
I think our friends have developed that because we display what covenant relationships look like really well, but they also have them in person. Too. So I don't think that you can be without it in person and only on a
maybe though
scale.
That and maybe the answer adjusts based on we're gonna go spend a month here with these friends and we're gonna do that, we're gonna be together for a month and then we're gonna go to another area that we have a family that may be a little more possible, or it's like, oh, most of my relationships are other places, but we're going to go spend a lot of good time there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like then you're kind of doing that for shorter amounts of time, but you're not just like, it's not just online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's online till we're at your house, and then we're here for a while.
Right.
We're around you for a while, and you're around us.
And that kind of brings back to a little bit, as parents, I want my kids to experience us practicing this. And it is hard for them to experience it and feel it and be around it and kind of watch it when it's just online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because usually when I'm online, even having like a covenant mm-hmm. relationship experience with a friend on the computer, my kids are poking their head and like, hey, Dad, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
of course. But if it's just us sitting in the living room together, they'll poke their head in and come talk to me. But online, they're like, oh, it's probably a meeting. So it's just a different access point and different they're not getting to watch it fully. So mm-hmm. it's for me, and my answer to him, I had a deeper answer, was sitting together in a living room, face-to-face, eye-to-eye. But I said I think it's both and, because I'm watching my kids build these deep relationships mm-hmm. online
yeah.
with kids all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's genuine and it's amazing. And they get on Zoom calls after class and connect with them, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And they confront each other and they have real conversations. At the same time, I've told all my kids, like, I need you to be courageous and lean in, and I will help you because we're practicing this. Yeah. And we've had disappointment. We've had people leave. All these things happen. But it is a non-negotiable for us that we're going to practice healthy covenant community.
Yeah. I think I had a conversation with a wife, mother, and I said, how come you didn't, because they had a situation, I said, how come you didn't call on this band of brothers? And she said, I think I just didn't realize that I could.
Mm.
And I said, well, that's the difference for me with covenant is if Ben was losing his ever-loving mind, I'd be calling all the men that I know in his mm-hmm. life and say, help me.
Yeah.
Because it's not working and he's scaring me and I'm frustrated. But that's because I've learned that all of these men have a place in Ben's life and permission. And so if I believe that I'm on an island of isolation, then I don't really know what covenant's meant to be. So I think this is, we're talking about parents creating this. And I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I can't, or we don't have it, or it's missing. I would say keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
That's people always stop because their church doesn't quite fit. They haven't really found the right person. And I get it. It is a process, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it requires that of sacrifice until you can find it.
Yep.
Hey, parents, let's be real. As every parent from the beginning of time has discovered, kids don't come with a manual. Parenting is a learning journey from the beginning to end. And like all learning journeys, it's full of lessons, challenges, questions, mistakes, and messes. One of the biggest reasons so many of us get scared, discouraged, frustrated, and overwhelmed as a parent is we think the goal of parenting is to become perfect parents who raise perfect children, which leads us to adopt the fear-driven strategies that focus on avoiding mistakes and messes, and we use control and punishment to change behavior. I wrote a book called Imperfect Parenting, where I explain the true goal of parenting, a safe, loving, heart-to-heart connection with our kids. Pursuing the goal of connection is what sets us up to influence the hearts, minds, and behavior of our children as we guide them on their own learning journey to becoming healthy, confident, and emotionally intelligent. This book will give you the tools you need to lay down the goal of perfection and become fully engaged in your journey of building a healthy, connected family culture where your children can thrive. You can find Imperfect Parenting by going to www.lovingonpurpose.com and clicking store. That's www.lovingonpurpose.com and click store.
One of the things I was considering with this is, you know, we talk a lot about isolation, and we have in this podcast in different places, but I want my kids to grow up knowing how to war against isolation and how to stay connected to people we're talking about mm-hmm. that bring out their best. So in this scenario, Brittany just said, there's people in my life that want the best for me and want to see my best on the surface at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not, she gets to invite them in. And I think in the same way, I want my kids to have that value, that there's people in my life that can call me out on where I'm struggling and where I'm awesome, where I'm mm-hmm. winning.
Yeah.
But this is what we do. And, you know, for me, I think just my own journey in the last couple of years, I've started saying it is now a non-negotiable to have men in my life that know me at a deep level. It's not a choice anymore. It's obviously a choice. I'm choosing it.
Right.
But it's not like maybe I will or maybe I won't. But it's a non-negotiable.
So yeah.
So that's what my kids to carry around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of my own journey a little bit in all this. Like, oh, yeah. Where I live, I have some brothers. I like, oh, I know you would be here if I needed you. Your wife would be here if Lauren, like you, We have that. But then I also have, in the last couple of years, like, oh, I have a lot of people online too, or mm-hmm. on the phone or on text that I could reach out to. Like, I'm redeveloping both. Like, we moved not that long ago, and it's like, oh, yeah. we've got to kind of reestablish that locally. Mm-hmm. We have it other places. We've got to reestablish it locally, and it's been...
It's a struggle sometimes.
It's so good, though. Like, I was saying to you, somebody, like, my son loves it. Yeah, we were talking about it in a few months back with raising boys. My son loves to be around it, so anytime... The guys are over at my house. He's right there. Mm-hmm. His brother goes to sleep, and he's there sitting on my lap listening to conversation. It was cool. Like, he gets to be there.
Yeah.
In that, paying attention. Like, he's seeing it. He's seeing us move to a new place and try to figure that out as well. Mm-hmm. And them try to figure that out for themselves with people and friends. And yeah.
I think, you know, the more that we model it, the more kids are going to replicate it. Mm-hmm. And I think that all three of our kids have a covenant relationship that I've seen them nurture and develop. And
locally.
Locally. And I would say Delaney's has changed because hers was local. Then we moved. They kept it. And then they moved,
moved
further.
As well. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So now we're on either side of the country mm-hmm. where we were just couple hours away, and so it felt like we could nurture it locally a little bit better. But I laugh because one of them will start complaining or frustrated about whatever, and the other one will call them out on it and confront them and direct them. And so
I mean, they're going on 16 years of friendship.
They are going on
at least
close to that. Yeah, really close to that. And I love it. The only thing that we've seen here when we moved down to this area 8 years ago, right?
Sure.
Something like that.
Almost nine.
Almost nine. And every family that we became really close with didn't have anyone Delaney's age.
Yeah.
And so Delaney's probably struggled the most on local community. But I wouldn't say it wasn't for lack of trying. Like, that girl has really tried, and she's been dealt hard hands. But I love that she hasn't given up. And really, this online community has created this place where she's very authentic and vulnerable. So she dove right in. So she's got this whole online community of people that are, you know, they have Bible studies and they lead different groups together. And when they do get together, it's as if we live by mm-hmm. them, which I love. And then her other friend that lives on the other side of the country. But this is probably one thing that she will have to really stretch her wings when she goes, let's say she goes off to school ministry. You know, she's looking at that right now. She's going to have to figure out how to do it with people right there in front of her, which I think she'll do fantastic because she's been longing for it. She's just been given a hard hand and that we haven't found.
And she'll be surrounded by people also wanting that, needing that, looking for it.
But it will be a different... capacity level because she's not probably going to be as used to having people in her little bubble
in your face
all the time.
Different energy
and
level.
So it's not that she doesn't know how to do it. It's just there's this situation given just some hard situations. This is where her greatest success here has been online, where Adeline's greatest success has been in person.
It's true. Which I think if we were able to stop every family that's listening to us and say, all right, tell us your community story. Mm-hmm. Just everyone's so different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's moods probably, everyone's changed, but the dynamics and the way it comes together is just so different. Mm-hmm. But I think the challenge is the same in that it does require sacrifice. It is going to take a risk. You are going to have to get uncomfortable to get to the covenant relationship we all long for and that depth. Like, it takes time. It takes... part of me that I don't like to share. It's not fun to share with people I just met. So, you know, there's this incremental steps I'm taking in the midst of my story that's very different to that family. Here's what we can begin to do to build this thing that's so important and really needed. Mm-hmm. But you were talking earlier, Seth, as we're kind of preparing for this, about the HR department. And I say H because I'm from Australia, in case people didn't know that.
Yeah. HR.
H.
I'll be the translator.
It feels wrong to say H, but tell us about the HR department.
I just I think we were just chatting about accountability. Account for your ability, not just account for your disability, and having that in our lives. I think that's what community, that's what covenant provides. You know, Ben's not doing good. Seth, help. Mm-hmm. Whoever else, call. Ben, you got 10 people coming your direction real fast. But I was saying in the home, in the family, there's no HR department, but there is in the workplace typically, depending on the size of the workplace and the owner probably. But, you know, we had at Bethel's, like, you got the HR department. And if I do something to you that's not cool and you're not having fun, you can go to the HR department.
And me.
The thing was hardest for me was like, your mom was our boss and your dad was our boss. I'm like, great. If something happens,
you
I'm going
to
your parents.
You should know by now that they don't favor me.
They don't favor you. It was awesome. They blessed my life so many times with that. And anyway, but like in a company, there's an HR department. So it's like, hey, they hold you accountable to be good to each other. Mm-hmm. And treat each other a certain way and work together. And there, and if you're not, then there's consequences for that. And there's a structure in place to go, hey, you're really rude to your boss. You're being rude to your employees. But there's that thing. I was just saying.
Yep.
I think
it's a great point.
In the work environment, it's really easy to go, oh, you're in a hostile working environment. This is not good, and we're going to make adjustments. So, but that's what HR provides. That's what that provides. And I think, in a sense, community covenant provides almost an HR department. Yep. So you don't have a hostile home environment. So you can't just get away with crap. You can't get away with crap because your wife's going to call me, and she's going to call someone else, and they're going to be at your house in a half an hour. And you can't get away with crap because not like.
Sure.
No, but we're holding, hey, you're better than this. This is not
it's,
you.
It's
what
holding,
do you need?
It's a standard.
Yeah, it's a standard.
It's kind of like walking around in your own house and everyone has chocolate on their face or food in their face, and that's just what we do. And you walk into the town hall and no one has food on their face. So everyone's like, are you aware?
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Have you been to my house? No. We didn't do this here.
And that's the thing we were talking about another time too. Just that whole thing, like, things become so normal for us. That we don't realize they may not be normal.
Yeah.
Well, and they may not even be healthy.
I would say they may be more dysfunctional than
exactly.
We are paying attention to.
Yeah, tones of voice and the way you speak to each other. And, oh, these kids yell all the time. Like, oh, that's their culture. They don't even know what else is available to them.
And this is where dysfunction hides. You know, you start getting into social work and different things. You watch families just isolate and just live in a dysfunction. And it's just dangerous and scary. And things that go on, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, we had no idea.
Yeah.
And I think one of the ways I was thinking about this, just that the HR department you're describing, is community is where beliefs, dreams, and ideas are put to the
test.
I
love that. Yeah. I wasn't asking you to say that if you weren't going to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's where I bring the things that I believe, that I'm living by, that I'm leading my family in. I go plan that community and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That may get chopped down.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a healthy community gets chopped down, that's some great feedback and good information.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for my community because of that.
Well, one of the things that happened here, we had someone join Love and Purpose that had a family. And, you know, perfect timing as he joins his son. You know, he joined right when COVID hit, and he has two boys, one on the way. And, but his oldest son all of a sudden started kind of violating their culture, being disrespectful to mom. And he knew that his normal tendency was to be scary and to show up scary and to use fear to get the result of compliance. And he's like, I don't want that guy to ever show up again. And I don't know what to do because he's, you know, I think this little boy like pushed his mom or did something, you know, started getting aggressive, and that was
you're growing fast.
You know, nope. You know, so all that was coming out, and the beautiful part was because he entered our community here, and he now has different resources than he's ever had before. And he said, "See my life. Yeah. This is what I normally do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring that same person. What do we do?" And we got to rally around and bring, you know, some tested and tried theories that are successful. They're not just guesses.
Right.
And he went back and the outcome was completely different. I mean, we even went over there for dinner to just sit with him and his wife. So like, how can we add our strength? And that's what community and covenant relationship is meant to be, is I add strength to your life in areas where you're weak. And it's not to lead you. It's not to control you. It's an invitation of there's something on your life that I want to see show up in my life. And I'm so grateful that we have a covenant that we get to bring that in. Yep. And we're sharing tools. That's what starts to happen. We should get to start sharing tools. And really, we may never be as good at farming as you guys are, but I know I'm going to be always calling Lauren. Lauren's my go-to for these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't have teenagers yet, but when you do, you're probably going to be calling us.
We're calling.
And I love that.
We did that when Brooklyn was biting. We called you, and you're like, you told us what it worked like a charm.
And it's just funny because I think that's the difference of covenant is I'm going to show you. You know, intimacy, into me you see, and that's the goal. And I want to share tools and see a value in sharing tools and not just hold them hostage.
Yeah. I mean, we're watching Lincoln do this right now with his little buddy. He's had since he was two, where they go to each other's house, and it's at a elementary stage right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they'll share different things and show each other what they're great at and what they love and what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And, It's just fun watching these little boys appreciate each other and lean into the strength that you have. And will you help me with this thing and teach me what you've developed? And where at my house, I'll teach you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun.
It's pretty cool.
All right. We should do our question before we get too far away. Which is, it's kind of on sharing tools, parenting tools that the kids are picking up. So it's a good
one. I'll read it.
All right.
How would you approach it if the kids started using the tools on each other? For example, fun or room, or giving choices to each other.
Mm-hmm.
One part of me loves it because they know so well how we do things in our family, and sometimes it feels like, especially the older one, takes a parent approach on consequences, trying to become the parent.
Sure.
Yeah, typical firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know how we do this. I am going to present choices to you and give you consequences if you don't.
I mean, Delaney is notorious for... Something will happen, and before I can, it's usually to Lincoln. Before I can say Lincoln, she is saying his name. She is giving, you know, choices or input or something. And I will say, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and be the parent. Mm-hmm. And then she usually giggles and stops. They have a bigger age gap. But I actually encourage my kids, I think we both do, to communicate when they're feeling hassled, to communicate that they're not being fun to be around. Because I'd rather them use these tools that help them manage their self-control and their connection level than the alternative, which is what a lot of siblings have, which is physical or just verbally chaotic. So I would, with the older firstborn, I would lean into, is she managing her relationship with her sibling, or is she trying to manage your relationship with the sibling overstepping? That's one indicator. If she understands that these tools are for protecting connection, maybe you just need to communicate and give some understanding.
Well, it's amazing. Like, these tools are good for every relationship. So it's like, this is good. But then don't replace me.
Yeah.
May also be something to look at and go, oh, is there a need? Am I missing something that she feels like she has to be the parent?
Jump in and
I'm
do.
Actually not.
Yeah.
It's good.
Like, I've had August say something like that to me where I've gone, oh, thank you. I will pay more attention to that because it looks to you like I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not.
It's causing anxiety.
It's causing anxiety. You're now doing something to be a father to your little brother, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that's good for information for me to have too, and go, oh, I need to pay attention in this certain area so that you don't feel like you need to do that with him.
Yeah.
And I would just add, just reminding your children that this tool is to help you manage yourself well. You're not trying to manage
control
or control or anything. It's to protect connection and manage yourself well.
Yeah.
And so as soon as you feel that going away, and, you know, it gets emotional and they're children and it quickly can unravel.
Learning process.
But it's a flag. Like, hey, remember when they said that thing and then it unraveled and all went wild? Yeah. This was them attempting to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that they're trying to communicate to you?
Yeah.
I think we literally, while we've been filming, got a voice memo from Lincoln saying he's frustrated at his older sister because she's been working, so she's not always as present with taking care of her part of the animal. So the younger two are taking up the slack. And he said, we asked her to do it, and she's not doing it. She's not listening to us. We told her we're feeling hassled, and she's not. She's mocking us, and he says back how she's saying it. And so what I love is that he's trying to communicate, I'm frustrated with you. We want your help and engagement here.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like he's being respected in his approach.
Yeah.
So he ends with, she's being a sassy little girl, which I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
But it's kind of the covering piece. He's trying to communicate.
He's requesting backup.
But then he's calling in reinforcements. I do my best.
Yeah.
Send an helicopter.
Here's what I've done. Here's what's happening.
And so we'll have a conversation when we get home, like, hey, it sounds like your brother and sister might be frustrated with you, and they're trying to communicate, and then they feel disrespected again. What's the goal here?
Which is somewhat the text she received from me. So even just the encouragement, like, hey, I think they're trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe listen a little closer.
Mm-hmm. Again, we are often telling our kids, we're trying to get them to use these tools. Because I want them to go and use these tools outside of our home.
Well, yeah, and you're not home. So who's going to – you're here in the studio.
So there's no bloody noses. There's no, you know, destroyed things in the house.
No chickens died.
Or broken objects. It's just frustrated kids trying to communicate. It's not going well. Ask for backup.
Here's what's really cool. Like, one of the things we all talk about a lot is anger is often a sign that you feel powerless, and powerless people need a plan. So you don't feel powerless, and then you don't need anger. And I've been working with my boys on their plan, because I'm like, you need a plan in your sibling relationship so that if it feels like your boundary is being violated, you have a plan so you don't get angry and freak out and now you're right? And so August has a plan. Stop, stop, dad.
Yeah.
So he can go, hey, Arrow, stop. Arrow, I don't like that. Arrow, now come to dad. Because that's you're learning to trying to learn to manage you. I don't like that. That doesn't feel good. I don't enjoy that. No fun. This is no fun. Dad, that's mom, great. So stop, stop, help is kind of we're helping Arrow a little bit more. August has it a little bit better. But it's that thing of like, hey, mom, here's what's happening. But helping them with a plan. The tools are to help them have a plan too so they don't get angry, so they don't get powerless, so they don't get out of control as fast. It's never going to be perfect, of course. Imperfect parenting. But
there you go.
Here we are again.
But having that in place and learning, like, well, how long does it take for parents to learn all this stuff? It's a process of education, a process of adjusting, and that's what I think
that's cool.
What's happening there too. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're learning to stick with the plan so we don't do something we might regret or hurts, break stuff, throws.
Make more messes.
And
good stuff. So encourage your kids. Just give them the book. Just have them read it.
Yeah.
Have them read all
the
books.
Videos.
Yeah, there you go.
Just wait till they start using it on you. Then
super then fun. Then you'll want our feedback session. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, as always, and we will see you later.
Bye.